Morning, everyone. Kids, do you know what time it is?
Yes.
Yeah, time to come forward for the kids' sermon. Let's get up here. Now, oh look, we're learning it. Let's not sit on the fabric because we learned that was a bad thing last time. Do you guys like this? I mean, is it okay that we're like not doing our normal kids thing and for a little bit of time just hanging out together in here instead? I'm really digging this. I mean, this is going to be hard for me when you guys are going back to kind of the kids' church. I mean, I'm glad you guys do that, but I have to tell you that this has been a fun thing for me. I really enjoy this. I hope you guys are enjoying it. Can I ask you guys a couple questions to start out with? I'd like to get some feedback from you guys about Christmas kinds of stuff, but before I ask you explicitly about Christmas, I want to ask you about your family. Here's a question I have for you. Do any of you have a favorite memory of like the most fun you've ever had with your mom and dad? Like, don't raise your hand yet. Just think for a minute. What is the most fun you've ever had with your mom or your dad or both of them? Anybody think of something? Most fun. Maybe a vacation you took or something you did on a birthday or... Anybody think of anything? Oh, somebody just smiled really big and then kind of went... Anybody share something? Yeah. You guys went on a cruise together? I bet that was fun. What was the best part of that? Going to the pool? Did you swim with your folks? A lot? I bet you did. I know your dad. I saw him on the Blob this summer. He really likes the water. Yeah. Yeah. What else? Anybody else have a fun family memory? None? Oh, I bet. Go ahead, Eli. You going on a trip together? Did you guys drive or fly? How did you get there? And was it pretty fun to be in a car for a long time? What were some of the things you did and made the car ride fun? Played what in the car?
Games,
yeah. You saw some deer, and they stayed out of your way. That's good. That's good. Yeah. What about you? The Blob, going on the pilgrimage this summer with your family and getting to see. Yeah, because I remember your mom and dad, they blobbed each other, and that was amazing, wasn't it? It was kind of really romantic and kind of cool to see that, to see your dad send your mom flying into atmosphere. Yeah, that was awesome. Anybody else have any? Yeah, go ahead. Going to Colorado. What was fun about that? You saw a mother deer and a baby deer. That's really good. Anybody else have any memories of fun times with your family? How about, let me ask a different Christmas. What's your favorite Christmas gift you've ever gotten? Yeah. An Xbox 360. I've heard those are cool. Yeah, yeah. Some kids in my house that would like one of those. Other Christmas gifts that you remember as fun? Anyone? Favorite Christmas gift? Yeah. Say it one more time. A Lego night. And did you have to build that? Was it hard or was it easy? It was easy. Did anybody help you do it? You did. It has directions, and you were able to do that. That's something I've never been able to do. That's awesome. Follow directions and have it work. That's great. Anybody else have any Christmas gifts? Their favorite? Did somebody say a Wii? Yeah, you like that. Yeah, that's fun. That's fun. Well, can I share you guys with a couple of my favorite things? You know, when I think about my favorite memories with my mom and dad, there were a couple things that I used to do with both my mom and dad that were really fun. When I was a little kid, my mom taught me how to play cards. Does anybody know how to play cards? Yeah, and when I would come home from school, oftentimes my mom and I would sit down and turn on a movie and play cards together. Almost every day we'd do that, and it was really fun, and we'd kind of talk about what had happened during the day, and it was really a great time to hang out with my mom, and we started that probably when I was like in maybe third or fourth grade, and I bet we did that for a number of years. And then with my dad, you know, oftentimes what would happen is then my dad would come home, and you know what I love to do with my dad more than anything else in the world? Play catch. Does anybody like to play catch or shoot baskets or do anything like that with their parents? Is that something that you enjoy doing? What's so fun about that? Yeah. You spend time with your family doing something that's kind of fun. Yeah, I would wait for my dad to get home with his baseball glove, and when he'd get home, we'd go out in the backyard and just throw and 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 throw. I just would never get tired of it. Sometimes my dad would get upset with me because I'd throw the ball over him or under him or around him. But for the most part, it was pretty fun. Now, you know what's weird about that is I remember that so powerfully. It's such a good memory, those kinds of things. Even though sometimes my folks would get mad at me. But you know what in the world? I have the hardest time in the world remembering my favorite Christmas gift. You know, as I think back about it, I can hardly remember even what I got last year. Isn't that weird? That I can remember something that happened a long time ago when I was in second, third, fourth, fifth grade, but I can't even remember some of the presents I got last year. In fact, you know, the one present, well, actually, there's two presents I remember getting. One was an Evel Knievel tour bus. He died last week. This was this guy that was just nuts. And he would do these stunts, and he had this tour bus, and he had his motorcycle, and I kind of remember that fondly. But the main gift that I remember getting was a ping pong table. One of my favorite things in the world. That's exactly right. I like the action noises. Can you guys have any, can I ask you one more question? Why do you think it's so easy for me to remember the time I shared with my family, but have such a hard time remembering any gift I got? Yeah. Because it's my favorite memory. And why do you think maybe that's so powerful for me? I spent more time with my family. Eli? Yeah, sometimes when we just get toys, we end up being by ourselves more, and it takes us away versus the things that actually help us to spend and build a relationship. Yeah, I really think that that's true, because you know what I believe, you guys, and what I've learned in my life is that what kids and adults need and want more than anything else in the world is love. That what we want and what we need and how God has made us is that we need and want more than anything else in the world love, to give it and to receive it. And the reason I think it's so easy to remember the time with my mom and my dad, and so hard for me to remember the presents that I got, is because plastic toys can't give and receive love. But moms and dads and friends and brothers and sisters, they can. They can all give and receive love. And that's why I think it's so easy for me to remember those times, because those were all times where I gave and received love. And that's really, really important. When people give themselves to us, it makes us feel loved, doesn't it? When people spend time with us. You know why I think I remember my ping pong table as one of my favorite gifts? Because I couldn't play by myself. I had to play with somebody. And spending time makes us feel loved. It's better than anything else. In fact, do you guys know that God has a number of names? And one of his very special names is the name Emmanuel. Does anybody know what Emmanuel means? It means God with us. Part of God's identity or part of God's name is the God who lives with us. Now, can I share with you guys one of my favorite gifts I've ever received? I'm pulling it out of my wallet. Anybody have any guess what might be in my wallet? It's one of my favorite gifts. Money, right? You know what? It's not money. There's no money in here in the shape of anything other than plastic. But let me show you something I carry around in my wallet that's very powerful to me. It's a heart. You see that? You may read what it says. It says, "I love you, Dad." That's something my youngest son, Blaze, who's 6, made when he was about 4 years old, and he was just starting to learn how to write. Why do you think I carry that around with me? Yeah, Adeline. It's special to me. And why is it special to me?
Because he's part of your family.
Because he's part of my family. Eli? Because I know he loves me. Yeah. I carry that around to remember that my kids love me. You know, I sometimes think that kids don't think they have very much that they can give that matters, because you don't have a lot of money, right? Kids sometimes don't have a lot of money. But you know what, you guys? You've got a lot that you can give. Because if you guys are like my kids have big hearts, and they have lots of love.
And love is what I want from them more than anything else in the world, and I want to give it to them as well. Do you guys remember a couple weeks ago when I asked you if you'd be willing to be St. Nick's helpers? You know, that St. Nicholas was a person who gave and love and gave money to help people who didn't have very much to give or to have. Well, next week we're going to have a chance to bring some money to give to people who don't have much to give. You know what? And I'm going to really challenge you guys not to just let your parents do that, but if you guys have some money and you want to share it, I would really encourage you to also take part, to give some of what you have for others. But I don't only want you to be St. Nicholas's helper this Christmas. I really want you to think about being a helper of God, a helper of Jesus. And one of the ways that you guys can help Jesus this Christmas is to be kids who give love to your families. You guys have things to give your families and to each other, your brothers and sisters and your friends. I want you to share your love because I think, at least for me, it's the best gift ever. It's something that really matters. So, you guys think about doing that? Sharing your love? Okay. Thanks, you guys. Good job. Let's give them a hand for being such good participants. You know, as I was reflecting on this idea of giving and giving in a way that's relationally defined and not giving that's necessarily monetarily defined or object defined, it occurred to me how close the ideas of present with a T and presence with a C-E are. Present versus presence. And how critical that distinction is. Present versus presence. Have you ever heard the expression, to receive a gift is to receive the giver? What does that mean? I'm asking. Yeah, Jill. Okay. The gift came from that person's heart. So by default, what? To receive something, to accept something from somebody, is not just to look at the object that's now in your possession that was once in theirs. It's to receive an expression of that person as an extension of them. To receive a gift is to receive or to accept the giver, because a gift is meant to be an expression and an extension of the person who gives it. But folks, I think too often we give gifts as a substitution for presence. We give presence instead of presence. Because it's a lot easier, is it not? It is a lot easier to give a present and withhold presence. And yet, just in my own reflections and just in hearing the kids share, and I'm sure that as I asked the kids these questions, it stoked remembering for you as well, the things in our lives, the times with our families, our spouses, our friends, our siblings, the memories that we hold and cherish in our hearts, where we actually experienced presence. And the way that that's marked and shaped us in our lives. Now, the reality is we have all had the opposite experience too. To make ourselves vulnerable, to give presence, and to have that be rejected. Because if to give a gift is to make oneself vulnerable and risk, then we've all known the experience of pain when we've made ourselves available and had someone say, no thanks. In fact, that's God's own experience of giving gift, his son, Jesus Christ. It's the third week in Advent. And our theme is giving relationally. We are encouraging the giving of ourselves because we follow a God who gave of himself in Christ. and showed us what love looks like. We were not given a theological treatise on love. We were given a child. We were given a God who made himself vulnerable, who risked rejection, but also created the possibility for redemption and reconciliation. That's true giving. Giving, because it involves the giver, always involves the opportunity for risk and rejection. And I think it's why it's so much easier to give a present T than presents CE. But when we only allow ourselves to live as if what we have to give is what we can produce and dispense versus what we can make available, then we do protect ourselves from risk. And we may not be rejected, but we will also miss out on the opportunity for life and redemption and reconciliation. God calls us to be people who live lives of presence, of self-sacrificing love. Advent is a time of preparation, to make oneself ready, to make oneself available. That's hard, is it not? We live lives of distraction, of non-presence. We have a hard time being present to each other, to God, to ourselves. It's why preparation is so important, that we might recognize the God whose presence is often veiled from us. We prepare ourselves to recognize and celebrate the coming of the Messiah at Christmas. But folks, you know what? Historically, Advent has not just been in the past about remembering God's arrival in the past. It's also a time of preparation and recognition for the time when he will come again. Advent always does two things simultaneously. It looks back and rehearses the story of God's arrival, and it looks forward in anticipation for the time when God will again come and be with us and among us. We are not just rehearsing something back then. We are anticipating and awaiting someone right now. Let me say that again because I think it's so critical. We are not just rehearsing something back there. We are awaiting someone right now. The presence of God, Emmanuel, the God who is with us. He came once as a demonstration and a deposit of presence. And we have been told that we have been given a gift in his absence. And that gift is his Spirit. In other words, he leaves his presence as a deposit and a promise of what is to come. And so we hold that gift in our hearts and say, fill us with your presence, O Lord, because we long for you. We've made this space. We're waiting. We're preparing ourselves. Fill this gap that we've created. And it's been created in us. He left his Spirit as a gift. Folks, he is also coming back. And I believe he will be a gift and a presence in ways that we can only begin to imagine. That he has come once. And we rehearse that. And we remember that. And we celebrate it. But we also look forward to the time. We make ourselves ready. We prepare our hearts. We leave space in our lives so that we might also have room to anticipate and host him when he returns. And in the meantime, we are called to manifest his presence in our lives through the power of his Holy Spirit to one another, to our families, to our friends, to the people among whom we live and work, to the world around us. Folks, that is the gift. To host presence so that we in turn can be present and represent and manifest the goodness of God in our lives. I want to conclude by reading together a passage that acts as a guarantee of the future that we are to share together. Oftentimes it's obvious and good and right to look either at passages like Isaiah when we talk about preparing for Christmas, as Israel prepared for the coming Messiah and Isaiah heralded that. It's obvious to look in the birth narratives of Luke and in other places. Today I want to push us to look at the future and to recognize the presence of the God who will come in ways that we can only begin to hope for. This from Revelation chapter 21. Will you read with me? Do we have that? Yeah, good. Let's read together. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Amen. Amen. When you came in this morning, I think that you received a little note card, a 3x5 card with a little golf pencil. We have been emptying the space where we normally take the Eucharist each week as a way of recognizing absence, as a way of recognizing space in anticipation for that which is to come. And so this morning, in the time where we would ordinarily come forward to receive communion, I'm going to invite you to do just a bit of reflection. And the card and the pencil are towards that end. And it may be that you're only able to record the questions and you need to take them and think about them for a while. Or it may be that when I ask you these things, you have an immediate bit of reaction. But here's the questions that I'd like to invite you to reflect on in this space this morning. Where have you experienced presence? And I'm not going to qualify it more than that, whether it's through a person, whether it's a sense of God's Spirit, whether there's something or a way that God's manifested himself to you, whether it's through a friendship. We've all been given at times the gift of presence. And to recognize that wakes us up to the reality that there are good things that God has given us, whether it be through people or his Spirit or some sense of his fullness in us, even now while we're still waiting. Where have you experienced presence? The second one, where do you need to experience presence right now? Where are you hungry for presence? I'm just going to leave this space for a minute or so for us to be still and to let those questions sink into us a little bit. We've talked through Advent about creating space, yes, of preparing our hearts and making room. Invite you in the next week as we continue to prepare ourselves both for the God who came and the God who will come, to allow these questions to stir your heart and to make you aware of the places in which God has come and been faithful to you, whether it's through himself or being mediated through people like family and friends, and to be thankful for that, to reflect on the experience of presence, and then to let that not be a satisfying thing, but a thing that provokes even more hunger in you, and then to turn that second question, the hunger for presence, into an invitation to God. God, this Christmas, as we anticipate your coming, fill me, fill us, fill my marriage, fill my friendship, fill my workplace, fill my mind with presence. Wherever the hunger is, invite God into that space. And allow God to give you that gift, or to begin to give you that gift this year as we are aware of that space in ourselves. Let's pray. Come, thou long-expected Jesus. You have come in your faithful love to us once. Lord, we confess to you this day, we are hungry for you still. We all recognize the space and the gaps that we have in our lives. We feel the presence of your Holy Spirit in us, sometimes more strongly than in others. And so we know your goodness. And yet, Lord, we are hungry still. And so we pray a prayer of gratitude. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gifts and the opportunities that we've had to experience presence in our lives, both from you directly and the way it's been mediated through loved ones in our lives, through opportunities that have come upon us unaware. Lord, we also pray for the experience of emptiness that we have, the places in our lives, the places in us where we still hunger and need you more. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Son of God. Come, Heavenly Father. Fill us with yourself. And Lord, this Christmas, may we be present. Help our community to share ourselves with you, with one another, with our families and friends, and with a world that is desperate for presence. It's in your name and for your sake we pray this morning, Lord. Amen.